DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. Ordained a priest from the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania, Monsignor Essef has served as a retreat director and confessor to Blessed Mother Teresa. He continues to offer direction and retreats internationally for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essef encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived around the globe, including Lebanon, serving the pontifical missions there. It is a Catholic organization established by Blessed John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. Monsignor Essef assisted the founders of the Institute for Priestly Formation and continues to serve as a spiritual director for the Institute. He also actively serves as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. And what is on your heart today, Monsignor?
Today, it's a very strong call by Jesus, who is the founder of Christianity, who is the source of all love in the world, and who is our Savior, who is our link with God. I'm so grateful for his message today. He is charging us with today, and what the readings of Habakkuk and St. Paul, who are echoing and strengthening his message to the whole world, and that is, God is all. God is first. Today, what God is saying to all of us who are his creatures, to everyone in the world, whatever or wherever you are, God is all. God is the source of all power, the source of all love, the source of all grace. And if you want to be saved, if you want to live in my love, you will give me all. I am asking you for everything. And if this is not preached, then people can't live it. There are three religions that teach about God. There's Islam, there's Jewry, and there's Christianity. Those three are given to us as monotheism. There is only one God. There are those in the world today who teach about Hindu gods. There are a billion people who follow Hindu gods and spirits. There are animists who have a different awareness of God, many of them in Africa, and different places even in South America. There are those who are Buddhists, and of course, the horrors of secularism are all around us. There are those who teach man is the center. There is no greater than man, and there is no God. There are the atheists and the agnostics. The Jews and the Christians believe in God, who is one God. There is no other God. And that God, we teach, is the creator of heaven and earth. In the book of Genesis, which we believe to be the source of all life, God made everything. And therefore, God says, I have it all. There is nothing that is not mine. Our God is a God who wants all, the God of Christianity. If you're a Protestant minister, if you're an Orthodox priest, and if you're a Catholic priest or deacon or bishop, then this is what we must preach. And today, listen to what Jesus says in the gospel. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord replied, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now Jesus goes on from there. You want me to increase your faith? Here's what I want you to believe. Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here immediately and take your place at table? Would he not rather say to him, prepare something for me to eat, put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink? So when you come home from work and you expect that God, as you are going to meet him, because he's the one who has the ownership of everything, now you come home and you expect to be waited on by God, what does God say? Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I am finished. Is he grateful to the servant because he did what he was commanded to do? When you do what God commands you, you should be grateful to God that you could do it. When you keep the Ten Commandments, when you do the will of God, do you think God's grateful to you for having done it? You have received your reward by simply doing what he told you to do because you're his creature. And because of his love for you, what you're doing is fulfilling what he asked you to do. Do you understand that the very essence of your being, who gives you breath? When you have the Catholic Christian who may be hearing this, and you maybe even believe that I have to go to Mass on Sunday, and I'm going to give God this 1 hour. Do you think God's grateful to you because you gave him that hour? So that when you step out of Mass now, you're relieved of your duty to God? Who do you think made Monday? Monday belongs to God. Who made Wednesday? Wednesday belongs to God. Do you give God gratitude and thanks on Thursday and Friday? God wants your service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The truth about your life is every single thing you have, every single thing I have, he gave me. And so as you come to eat your food and you work all day long and you're saying, bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, but you really don't believe that in your mind, because in your mind you're saying, this food belongs to me. I put this food on my plate. Through my sweat and through my work, I deserve this food. And that's what Jesus is saying. No, you don't. I gave it to you. Everything, it belongs to me. And many of us, who gave you your son? Who gave you your house? What kind of gratitude is in your heart for your son, your house? Who gives you your breath that you're breathing now? God did. Who makes my heart beat while I'm able to speak with you? It belongs to God. You see, the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, with your whole mind, with your whole strength. That is the first and the greatest commandment. It should be the teaching of Islam, Jewry, and Christianity. The Christian believes that this Father is God who loves us. He also believes there is only one who can return that kind of gratitude to him. and that's his son. Because of the failure of humankind and the story as it's told by both the Jews and the Christians, from Adam and Eve right down to the birth of Jesus 2013 years ago, no man ever returned God that kind of love and gratitude. It was never given back to God. Only one. Because God sent his son, seeing that we were so bankrupt and unable to do that, he sent Jesus into the world. And when Jesus came into the world, he was the first man, the first and only man who saved us, who did what God wanted from every human being. And because he did it and sent us his spirit, now listen what Paul is teaching one of those who received it in today's Mass. This teaching is from a letter of Paul. It's the second one to Timothy. Beloved, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. Now, the power that was received by Paul as an apostle was passed on through the laying on of hands to Timothy. Now, Father, that's what you received, beloved Catholic priest. That's what you received, beloved deacon. And that's what you also received, bishop. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord, nor of me, a prisoner for his sake, but bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. The power that was given us to preach to all of the world that God is the source of all life, that Jesus is the only one who can be our Savior. No one can keep God's commandment. Only the one who came from heaven, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. In the teaching, the true teaching of Jesus in the gospel, he is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the only one who has power. That power has been given to us. People are not going to live that unless it's preached. And we have the command. We have the authority to go out and preach this gospel. If you are a Muslim and you hear me talking and you think that that's not true, and maybe your religion brings you to the point where you want to shut my mouth and my voice, go ahead. That's what your religion may teach you. That's madness. And Habakkuk has something about that to say in today's Mass, to give us all courage. A reading from the book of the prophet Habakkuk. How long, O Lord, I cry for help, but you do not listen. So many in our world, we feel, have not really heard the voice and the command of God in our day. That's what Habakkuk was saying. I cry out to you, violence, but you do not intervene. How many have been killed all over the world, in Kenya, in Sudan, in Egypt, because they have been Christians, because they have lived this truth of Jesus Christ? I cry out to you, violence, but you do not intervene. Why do you let me see ruin? Why must I look at misery people are actually being crucified in Sudan for their faith. Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and clamorous discord. Then the Lord answered me and said, write down the vision clearly upon the tablet, so that one can read it readily. For the vision still has its time, presses on to fulfillment, and will not disappoint. If it is delayed, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. The rash one has no integrity, but the just one, because of his faith, shall live. All of us are going to see that this is the truth. God is first. Our Lord concludes today, so should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do. This message is obligatory. It's something that God says, I want you to do this. I want you to teach this. This is my command. These are my people. And through you, you are to bring this message to the world. You get no flowers for this. You get nothing for this, except the reward of knowing that you are doing what I have commanded you to do. What I have commanded you to do is your responsibility to do it, because I am your God and you are my people. Today, as I believe many of you would be going to Mass, and as you go to Mass and as you live your lives, how important it is that we hear this message so that you can begin to live the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our calling is not to worship God 1 hour a week. What kind of cheap tinsel God is that? What kind of plastic Jesus is that? God is calling us to live this commandment fully and completely. And so, as we are being called today, as we go to Mass, when you come home from work, he's still there, and he wants you to realize that there's no time off. What does he want you to do when you come home from work? You see, God is the God who wants to permeate your entire life. God is with you when you're driving your car. God is with you when you're in your office. God is with you on the golf course. God is everywhere. God is with you because he loves you, and he wants you to recognize him all day long, wherever you go, because when you recognize him, you become more and more fulfilled of who you are. You were made and you were constructed to be with God forever. 100 million years from now, I'm just 85, but 100 million years from now, our life with God will only be beginning. So much does God love us. There is only one life. There is only one truth, God, who is over all and in all and through all. And to have us hear it today, that he is all of life and he's in charge. And he's in charge because he's love itself. And that's what we were made for. And no one has ever been able to get that right except Jesus Christ. And because He was able to get that right. He gave us His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, so that you and I can get that right. And there are those saints of ours who have shown us the way, like the little flower, St. Teresa, like St. Pio, like St. Francis, like Mother Teresa, and like you, and like me. Preach it, teach it, but most of all, live it. Be a witness to living the life of Jesus Christ this week. Let us begin together.
Any final thoughts today, Monsignor?
My prayer is that of Francis. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, to faith in you. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. O Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we're born to eternal life. It is in dying that we're born to eternal life. God bless.
From the writings of St. Pio. Jesus keeps nothing for himself of what is done for love of him. He will repay us very lavishly. Don't let us make our happiness depend on enjoying wonderful health, or else we should be just like those foolish, worldly people to whom it is not given to know the secrets of heaven. Continue to love Jesus and make an effort to love him more and more without wanting to know anything else. He alone will steer us to the haven of salvation. A prayer of St. Pio.
Stay with me, Lord, for it is necessary to have you present so that I do not forget you. You know how easily I can abandon you. Stay with me, Lord, for you are my life, and without you I am without fervor. Stay with me, Lord, for you are my light, and without you I am in darkness. Stay with me, Lord, so that I may hear your voice and follow you. Stay with me, Lord, for I desire to love you very much. Always be in your company. Stay with me, Lord, if you wish me to be faithful to you. Stay with me, Lord, as poor as my soul is, I want it to be a place of consolation for you, a nest of love. Stay with me, Jesus, for it is getting late, and the day is coming to a close, and life passes. Death, judgment, and eternity approach. It is necessary to renew my strength, so that I will not stop along the way. And for that, I need you. It is getting late, and death approaches. I fear the darkness, the temptations, the dryness, the cross, the sorrows. Oh, how I need you, my Jesus, in this night of exile. Stay with me tonight, Jesus. In life, with all its dangers, I need you. Let me recognize you as your disciple did at the breaking of the bread, so that the Eucharistic communion be the light which disperses the darkness, the force which sustains me, the unique joy of my heart. Stay with me, Lord, because at the hour of my death, I want to remain united to you, if not by communion, at least by grace and love. Stay with me, Lord, for it is you alone I look for, your love, your grace, your will, your heart, your spirit, because I love you and ask no other reward but to love you more and more. With a firm love, I will love you with all my heart while on earth and continue to love you perfectly during all eternity. Amen.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essiff. To hear and or to download this reflection along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essiff.